The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob and the great one, Lonzo, with you here on the show. Spectacular to have you all along for the ride as we talk the sports. It's what we do here on the show. If you want to be a part of it, now's a wonderful opportunity. I don't know. I'm sure you're saying something that I need to know about.
We're supposed to have guests right now at this time?
Not yet, no.
Football? Yeah. High school football?
Oh, that's right. I didn't send Kevin and John the invite. That's a good call. Let me do that right now. We got the boys from Moving the Chain Puck.
Luckily, I just saw their post on X about that. And
That's a good idea. That's why you're in charge, and I'm not. We'll get Kevin and John up here in just mere seconds from now to talk about all the high school football taking place around the area. And then the great one and I will spend the next couple of segments talking collegiate and NFL football, running through the slate this weekend. Started off last night with the Rams and the Vikings, a controversial ending to that game that was definitely a face mask. 100%, not a question mark. That did not get called, despite the fact that the head official was like feet away, inches away from the call.
Obviously, it was a bang bang play, and so sometimes with those bang bang plays, it's hard to notice things.
Nope.
And I will tell you, my first initial watch of it, it looked like he grabbed the jersey underneath the helmet, and I'm guessing that's probably what the official also thought when he saw that.
You know, notorious when you grab a shirt that your head spins 90 degrees in the other direction. Happens to me all these. I'm shocked I haven't snapped my neck getting dressed in the morning yet.
Well, we're all shocked that, but it's his entire body turned around. It wasn't just his head.
No. It was definitely his head. I was watching it. I saw it without my glasses on. This is going to be one of those times where we're not coming eye to eye. That was a face mask in every single angle
showed it. I watched it again, and now I've seen it. But I am talking about how the referee, with the speed of the game, where his hand was, it looked like it very possibly was not a face mask.
No. Can't come around on that one. Sorry. Try my best.
But in the end, it's still not reviewable. So as mad as everyone is about the face mask and about the referee missing it, they're showing it on TV again right now, it's not reviewable. And until it is, it's like, oh, sorry, missed it.
The point has been since 11 o'clock last night, put a dude in the box that goes,
hey, John.
Gotta change the call.
You're an idiot. And you made it's a face
gotta
mask.
Make it reviewable, or it
it's
doesn't
a,
matter.
That's a face
it
mask.
Doesn't matter. All this outrage everywhere on TV, on radio, it's not a reviewable call.
You understand? That's what the outrage is. The outrage isn't that it was a face mask. The outrage is that there is no world where that should not be something that is fixable.
Should the NFL call a special meeting to change this right now?
Yes.
Because the Players Association also has to be involved. So, I mean, it just sounds like something that's you complain about something that's not going to be fixed, at least not until next year. And if they change the rule, they'll change it right back a year later.
It's dumb, and I hate it. It is so. There are 90,000 HD cameras pointed at every single play. Have a dude that goes, hey, you screwed up. You know, like you did 10 seconds ago for me, and you bailed me out from making a major screw up? That, but football.
Well, I mean, if you knew how to read lips, it wouldn't have been as obvious.
I don't. Hey, I don't know if Kevin can, but I know what he can do, which is talk a little high school football with us. Our boy Kevin Thomas joining from the Moving the Chains podcast, which you can find on their website at movingchains.com. No G on that one. The same as the handle on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Moving Chains, and you can find their podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, et cetera, where the boys lay it all down. If you follow high school football, you got to follow the fellas. KT, what's up, big dog?
What's going on, man? Enjoying this more springtime-ish weather than what we've been, you know, seeing the last couple of weeks. A little bit warmer out here. I've enjoyed that this week. It's been a fun one.
I got to tell you, I never thought I'd say this sentence, Kevin. Dude, I'm ready for it to be quarter zip season. Sunday, I'm ready for it to be hoodie weather.
It's going
to
be back Sunday. It's like only going to be in the 60s Sunday.
We got like that little sprinkle of like 3 days where it was like, oh, damn, I got to start the car before I go outside a little bit. And then it's like, oh, no, sorry, it's 80 again. Not a fan.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to it, big dog. We got Kevin Thomas from the Moving the Chains pod. I was under the impression John Epps would be joining us. Is he just too good for us?
I guess work, you know, yeah, I don't know.
Come on. No, you need to cut John some slack here.
No, that, I refuse.
Yeah, this is on you.
He knew that we were going straight up at 9 o'clock and not a second later.
Uh-huh. You should just talk to Kevin.
Not a second later. let's get into it. Let's start with this one, Kev. Any big surprises from last week's high school football? Anything jumping off the page that kind of caught your attention?
Nothing too crazy. You know, last Friday night up in the Upstate, I don't believe. You know, I guess the biggest surprise to me was Spartanburg blew out Bowling Springs. I thought it was going to be a very competitive ball game. The Vikings really handled them. They're up 27-0 at half, just kind of cruised to a victory there. Big win for Coach Hodges' bunch. That was a surprise. And then we did see some Tuesday night action. JL Mann handled Greenwood pretty easily. Nice bounce back win for those boys after a tough loss last week. So nice to see them get back on the winning track as well.
The because we've got, obviously, with Hurricane Helene having rolled through, we got a bunch of these weeknight games that have kind of thrown a little bit of chaos into the season. And some teams thrive on that, and some teams it just completely wrecks them. What has been the impact on that, on the football season because of that this year? Anything?
I think you're seeing some, I guess for lack of a better way to put it, it's like some MASH crews out there. Like some of these teams are playing with, you know, certainly less than what their optimal lineup would be. I think I saw last week where Hillcrest was down like five of their top 8 linemen or something like that. Like they're just trying to piece together a team right now because you don't have time to get guys healthy between these games. So you're seeing some teams not at their full strength, trying to kind of grind it out and still get some wins.
That's fair. All right, let's look at the schedule upcoming for week 9 in the high school schedule. And let's start with Dorman at Gaffney, KT.
Two teams that are struggling offensively. Dorman was off to a hot start this year, and they have not been able to find the end zone lately. And Gaffney, a similar story. You know, last week, quarterback Javon Gilmore, he had to get pulled from the game. He was 1-for-7, -1 yard with a pick. They took him out, went more of a run-heavy wildcat with Jamarcus Smith there. He got it done. I think he had 200-plus on the ground. So they had to kind of mix things up there. Gaffney needs to kind of figure it out, get that explosive offense going again. If they do, I think they win this ball game. Their defense is really strong, as always. Just got to make a few plays on offense to make sure they can secure that victory tonight. A
couple more teams from that division we're going to talk about, Burns and Spartanburg, Bowling Springs, et cetera. But is it me, and obviously from the outside looking in, it feels to me like that division, which ordinarily is full of powerhouses, are kind of full of teams that are all still kind of trying to find themselves a little bit in week 9. What's your take on that Burns, Spartanburg, Dorman division?
For sure. I feel like everybody has flaws this year. That's a great point, Rob. I think Gaffney is the most talented football team, it seems like, on both sides. You know, when they were clicking earlier in the year, that offense was very explosive, lots of big plays. But right now, they've kind of hit a rut there. Spartanburg, still a team that I feel like I don't know a ton about. They had a huge win last week, but they've had their own offensive issues as well. But they may be grinding into form at the right time. We know about Burns' struggles with the transfers out and the injuries and whatnot this year. I think they're really good defensively. Can they score enough points to win a lot of football games? That's going to be tough when the playoffs come around. But, yeah, it does seem like there's not really a dominant team in that region this season.
All right, Riverside is at Boiling Springs.
Riverside, tight end, Mikael Skinner just committed to Kentucky, I think, 2 nights ago. So hats off to him for that. They played a really tough one with Gaffney last week, played well on both sides of the football. Bowling Springs, a very surprising, you know, not even close blowout loss to Spartanburg on Friday. That caught me off guard. I like that team a lot with Lincoln Husky and what Coach Real is building there. This could be I'm thinking like a 27-21 type-ish ball game here. I like Bowling Springs at home. Quarterback play at home, I think, leads into a victory. But that could be a really good ball game over there in Bowling Springs.
Is Lincoln Husky the best quarterback name in the region this year? I feel like it just default is.
It's very good, man. It's a really good. He's a stud lacrosse player. As of now, going to college to play lacrosse on a scholarship. So we'll see if that shakes out to get some more football offers or not. But he is a really, really athletic kid. And you'll see when he plays, man, the way he runs around, you can tell that he is an athlete and gets it done with his feet.
I dig it. All right, let's keep going on. Game you'll hear on the right here on the Fan Upstate, Burns at Spartanburg. These two teams have had some absolute slugouts the last couple of years. Had a real good playoff game a couple of years ago at Spartanburg. Obviously, regular season matchups are always a hotly contested rivalry. And again, I think two of those teams that you just talked about, Kev, are kind of still trying to find themselves a little bit with all the changes they've both gone through. How's this one shake up tonight out in the Berg?
Burns has been playing good football. You know, he mentioned that defense has been locked in all year long. Offensively, they're still kind of trying to piece it together. They're getting, you know, the run game going. They get some key special teams plays as well. I know Chew Harris had a big return for a touchdown last week for them. Coach Shaw hasn't played inspired football. Spartanburg, maybe the win of the week. Last week, that blowout win over Bowling Springs, that was really impressive for Coach Hodges' bunch. Their defense is lights out. I think Spartanburg at home, a little too much offensive firepower. I believe they continue to roll here. They are a team that I think has been flying under the radar in 5A and even in that region, but I think they're a legit, you know, top five team in that breadth classification.
Talk to me about a little bit about Burns. Break this team down for me, because it was, I mean, if we're just keeping it a buck with the audience, a team that I don't think expectations were super high out of this year. They had a lot of talent that transferred out. You do have some young guys out there that this was expected to be kind of a growth and development year. And then on top of that, you add in the fact that there are no home games for this team. They are the Road Warriors this year. It kind of felt like this year was really expected to almost be kind of a throwaway year, almost like a forgive this year, sorry, sucks to be you seniors kind of year. But this team also seems to be, under Reggie Shaw, playing kind of hard-nosed football, like going out there. We know we're not going to be the most explosive in terms of big offensive plays, so let's go ground and pound. Let's play good defense, and let's create some opportunities. We talked about it last week, a team that was in a shootout overtime with 48 yards of offense says to me that defense is doing something in the red zone at least. Talk to me a little bit about what this Burns team is this year.
Exactly right. Defense and special teams, I would say. I think I mentioned last week, Chew Harris was a 90-yard kickoff return to get them on the board there in that win. The defense has been playing really well, man. They've got some guys flying around at all levels, it seems like, as well. And, you know, the offense, they've had some injuries. They're trying to move some pieces around to figure out the quarterback spot, just what they're going to do there. So they're certainly relying on more of a milk the clock, let's get a big play from the defense, get a big play from the special teams type situation. And it's just, I think I mentioned it last week, it's very impressive what they've done. You know, team that started out 0-3, played some tough non-region games, really could have thrown in the towel, you know, with everything going into the season, playing all the away games and whatnot. But they've turned it around and won, I think, 3 out of 4 now, the one loss being that double overtime game. They're playing some inspired football, some good football for Coach Shaw.
I dig it. All right. What other games, any other games around the area you think folks are going to be interested in tonight or that could have postseason implications?
Yeah, an interesting one is Broome at Mountain View Prep. Mountain View Prep, the new charter school here in Spartanburg. Start running back Jalen McGill transferred from Broome to Mountain View Prep this year. So a bit of a rivalry there built off of that. So it'll be interesting to see how those teams kind of come out. I think MVP is clearly the better football team. They should win that game, but you never know with kids and they get their emotions involved how that might turn out. But that'll be an interesting one there to see tonight, I feel like.
Keegan's in the chat, asked about Dorman, just your thoughts on where that football team is this year.
They started off really well. I was really impressed, had some nice wins early in the year. They beat Lexington, they beat Greenwood, but they just cannot score the football right now, man. They're trying to figure out the quarterback spot. McCorian Anderson looks like an athlete, but just cannot put it together right now. The defense is still playing pretty solid. They're giving up just like right around 20 points a game, which is not bad, but they just cannot score touchdowns when they need them, and they are struggling on that side of the football.
Kevin Thomas is one of the multitude of outstanding hosts from the Moving the Chains podcast, which you can find again at movingchains.com. No G in that one. Facebook.com/movingchains. Same handle on Twitter and Instagram, and their podcast available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. What you guys got coming up special in the next few days?
Man, working on a couple coach interviews. Now, getting into the playoffs here in a couple weeks, trying to line up some guys who are really rolling and kind of get some feedback on their team from the year. So just definitely keep a lookout for that stuff dropping here soon.
Give me one postseason hot take right now.
Man, postseason hot take. I think 4A, everybody wants to say West Side with all the talent they've got there in 4A. But I think it's going to be really tough for those boys to get back to the state title game. There are some legit contenders in 4A.
I like it. I like it. Kevin Thomas, not only joining us on the show, but picking up the slack from John Epps, who just, in fairness, though, Kev, in fairness, week one, you did check in on the live stream from a green on a golf course, so.
But I was checking in, though, supporting the boys.
That's fair. That's fair. You did at least check in. That's appreciated. My man, where are you going to be at tonight?
We're actually going down to the PD region, Loras and Marlborough County, a big 3A matchup.
Nice. I don't think I've been down that way yet.
There's not a lot, I'll be honest with you.
But that means there's a food spot. There's like a barbecue joint that's out of a trailer that had the wheels knocked off or something like that. Where's that spot, Kevin?
For sure. You know, I got to look. You know, we actually interviewed the coach this offseason. He told us a couple good spots. I'm going to check back and see what he listed out for us. We got a couple different options for sure. But, yeah, it's going to be kind of that Friday Night Lights feel where the whole town shuts down to go to the football game still. So it's fun. It's fun.
But you know what? I'll tell you what we're doing. We're starting a new tradition right now. The new tradition, Kev, is that I'm going to need a food report from whatever city you were in the Friday night before. So we can get that list. Wait, I need a comprehensive list of best high school pregame food spots across the state, and I feel like it's your responsibility to do that.
We can do that. We can do that.
Kevin Thomas.
A little late in the season for that.
It just came up. Okay, I mean, I'm a genius, but it's sporadic. You know, it's spontaneous genius is what it is. We'll have Kevin's pregame food spot the weekend on Fridays the rest of the season and moving forward into next year.
Why not do like Jarrell's Jams? And he could tell you.
Because Jarrell's not here.
Yeah, but because he's out sampling the food for the next thing.
It is 9:17 in the morning. No, he's not. His ass is in bed right now is what he is doing.
After a late night going out and sampling all the, I mean, you know.
Listen, I'll rush to the defense of Jarrell Hendricks as fast as anybody, but let's not pretend doing show prep right now. My man slept in. We know what's up. Kevin Thomas, Move of the Chains podcast. They are here every Friday at 9 a.m. to run you down the high school football happenings you need to know, even when the season's in a bit of flux, as it is this year. KT, appreciate you, big dog.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Always. Kevin Thomas, Moving the Chains again. Find their website, movingchains.com. No G in that one. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter at Moving Chains as well. And, of course, don't forget to download the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your entertainment from. It's the Moving the Chains pod. Lonzo and I will take a look at the collegiate football schedule next. We'll look at the NFL to wrap up the hour on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Going to take a look at the collegiate football schedule here in just seconds from right now. But before we do that, something very interesting just dropped mere moments ago. Something that I will tell you has piqued my attention.
Do we need glass?
No.
Okay.
However, I am optimistic, Lonzo. I am optimistic that we may need glass next Thursday. The reason why.
You mean on Halloween?
Is next Thursday Halloween?
Uh-huh.
Then yes.
Ooh.
Do I come in as goateed stone cold? It is tank top Thursday.
No, you listen.
I could come in at just a leather vest.
No, you will not do that.
I'd have to go get a bald cap and stuff. I can't shave my head bald. I don't have a good bald head.
There's plenty of bald cap. Go head over to Spirit or one of the other places.
It's on the table. That's on the table. It's officially on the table. I already own a pair of jorts. It's officially
on
the table.
Well, who doesn't? People complain about it. Everyone's got jorts.
We may need the glass next week because I have just received an invitation to join the Greenville Triumph for a press gathering next Wednesday at 2 p.m. at the plaza at Bridgeway Station.
Where's that at?
Bridgeway Station is over in Malden. And while I cannot tell you what this is about.
Yeah, because you don't need to be doing that stuff.
While I cannot tell you what this is about, what I can tell you is that I have a very high level of interest in this for a few reasons. Number one is, you know, those of you know, I know, we know, people know, the people know. The people know. The Greenville Triumph have been actively attempting to get a soccer stadium, a dedicated soccer stadium. That would be a multi-use facility, but would be a dedicated soccer stadium. And one of, if not the premier possible potential location for that has been Bridgeway out in Malden, the Bridgeway station out at Malden. And so they just put out an invite to join them next Wednesday at 2 p.m. at the plaza at Bridgeway Station, open to the public, accompanied with the Triumph logo, the Greenville Liberty logo, and the Bridgeway Station logo. I don't for sure know what this is about, but there has been, this is now the second massive announcement from the Greenville Triumph and Greenville Triumph and Liberty ownership and leadership in the past couple of months. The last time they said, hey, you're going to know, you're going to want to pay attention to a bit of information we're going to put out later. We found out that one of the greatest soccer players in the history of planet Earth, Ronaldinho, has joined the ownership group of the Greenville Triumph and Greenville Liberty. And not but 2.5-3 weeks later, we get a heads up that there's a press conference next Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the place where the Triumph had been trying to get a stadium. I'm just going to say I'll be there because I'm hoping for really good news next Wednesday. Really hoping for really good news next Wednesday. We'll see. We may very well be opening the show on Thursday with the breaking glass. Fingers crossed. This is what I hope that it's going to turn out to be. All right. I got told last night I had the honor and the privilege of being asked to MC a contract signing for the Greenville Triumph's unified team, and got to introduce the players of the unified team. It's a team for special needs individuals in our area that the Triumph are running. It is an incredible project that they have put together to make sure that soccer is an inclusive sport for everyone in the upstate. I think it's fantastic. I was privileged, and I got told last night, hey, don't make plans next Wednesday. I said, why? They said, don't make plans next Wednesday. I said, okay. And now we get this invitation to be at the Bridgeway Center next Wednesday at 2 p.m. for some sort of press gathering. I'm very excited about it. Very excited about it. So we'll see what that is all about. Hopefully, we're opening the show next Wednesday with a major announcement. We'll let you know. So stay tuned for that. All right, let's get some college football up in her, taking a look at the weekend upcoming. We've had a couple of games so far already, including two last night. Number 19, Pittsburgh knocks off Syracuse 41-13 with the help of not one, not two, but three pick sixes, five total interceptions off of former Ohio State Buckeye turned Syracuse Orangeman Kyle McCord. We do have some matchups tonight. Unranked, we'll be on the road at Boston College. Number 17, Boise State, Ashton Janty and the gang heading out to Las Vegas, Nevada to take on UNLV. And Rutgers is at USC live from the Coliseum tonight. Here we go into the weekend. Upcoming, Lonzo, the Cornhuskers, the Black Shirts, heading out to Columbus to Ohio Stadium to take on your Ohio State University Buckeyes in this one. Ohio State favored by 25.5. I've already given my take. Don't be shocked if Nebraska finds a way to make it competitive.
See, I don't think so. I think Ohio State comes out angry about how the game ended with Oregon. It's been a while since they played, and they're going to take it out on Nebraska.
So blowout, they cover 25.5?
They put up 50. At least.
Put up 50 on the black shirts. Yes. Woof. Talk about a reset for Matt Rhule after all the goodwill he's built up there. Number 12, Navy is at, or excuse me, is hosting. Number 24, Navy is hosting number 12, Notre Dame. This one from MetLife in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Navy is a 13.5-point dog. My favorite bet of the weekend, Navy covers 13.5. I don't know if they outright beat Notre Dame. I am very much pulling for them to do it, but I do think they cover 13.5.
What if Notre Dame doesn't make the 12-team playoff?
If they lose this game, they will not. Even if Navy is undefeated, even if Navy is a top 25 team, and they are, if Notre Dame drops this or the Army game, actually, scratch that, Notre Dame can't lose another game. Their loss is the worst loss of any of the playoff contenders. Their loss is, in the eyes of the committee, I think, going to be a worse loss than Alabama losing on the road at Vanderbilt. Notre Dame can't lose another game. Here's the thing. Navy's weird. They got the triple option, they've got the mesh, and now they got a cat that can throw the football. So all of a sudden, that triple option, you got to bring extra guys up to stop. Now they got tight ends that can run a seam route, and they actually can get them the football now. I think Navy can do enough weird stuff, and Notre Dame can't really prepare for this. This is an offense you can prepare for. All you can do is watch the tape, spend 3 or 4 days on the practice field figuring it out. It's not like you got the prep with Georgia Tech running the triple option anymore. They don't. I think Navy throws enough wrinkles into the system, they cover up 13.5 against Notre Dame at home.
Me too. Hopefully an outright win. Wouldn't it be cool in the 12-team playoff to have one of the military teams make it?
It'd be awesome. I would immediately know who I'm pulling for in the playoffs. I'm immediately a Navy guy. My grandfather was a U.S. Marine. He loved watching Naval Academy football. I will absolutely be team midshipman if that was to happen. Number 13, Indiana at the house in Bloomington, taking on Washington. John Gruden got on social media yesterday and said, "Yo, Indiana kids, where y'all hanging out? I want to come by and hang out with the Bloomington folks."
Was he feeling nicey?
He was not, but he was wearing a shirt. He wears is T-shirts with Chucky on them now. It's like, all right, bud, we get your brand. We get it, Grandpa. We understand. Maybe don't ask college co-eds where they're hanging out so you can hang out with them, Granddad. Maybe calm down, Chucky. Just a little bit. Relax.
Why is that creepy?
Why is a 60-year-old man asking college co-eds where they hang out so he can hang out with them weird? What? I don't know, Lonzo.
Why are you pointing? So you're making it sound like he was only talking to the women? Maybe I didn't hear that part.
He said, if a 60-year-old man says, "Hey, where are the college kids hanging out at?" I don't think it's because he wants to go be one of the boys.
Okay. Maybe he does. So you're implying something that he was not implying.
The white knight of the show today. Dude. Rushing to Al Michaels' defense.
And you're whatever the opposite of. No. I said Al Michaels might have been drunk. But anyway. You rushed out Michael's defense.
Oh, that's true. I did. Who did you? You defended somebody else earlier. Who was it?
I've defended everybody.
That's true.
On and off the air.
Referees. Number 18, Ole Miss at home against Oklahoma.
It's Good Guy Friday. Rob just wore the wrong shirt.
Ole Miss, 20-point favorites at home against Oklahoma. Oklahoma's bad. Ole Miss covers this one up easily.
Sorry.
Oklahoma's broken.
Wonder if that defensive coordinator position at Clemson will open back up when someone goes. I'm just saying. You know.
Come on home, Brent. We got a spot for you. Georgia Tech is at Virginia Tech. I will take the Hokies in that one. I'm just going to do the rank game since we're up against it. Number 20, Illinois is at number 1, Oregon. This one's at the Zoo, Autzen Stadium in Eugene. Fortunately for the Illini, this one's at 3:30 on CBS. Not a night game. Unfortunately for the Illini, I'm going to use Alonzo word. Dan Lanning's Ducks have found their stroke. Oregon by 30.
See, I don't know about that. Illinois is kind of weird. I mean, every year they
are weird. What about their football team though?
Well,
hey-o.
Every once in a while they throw a wrench into things. So I'm not saying they're going to win, but maybe not by. Oregon doesn't win by as much as you think.
Number 11, BYU is at UCF, and they are dogs. The Golden Knights favored by 2.5. Y'all, the Storm and Mormon ain't no joke this year. They have got an offense that flies around the field. You know I'm a big fan of the 2017 national champion Golden Knights, but give me the Storm and Mormons on the road.
I knew you couldn't go through the entire thing without saying it.
A thing that is true. I do say that. I do tend to say that. That is a fact. Number 21.
You and Van Diddy. I can't just call him Diddy anymore. I just can't do that.
Number 21, Mizzou is at Alabama. This one at Bryant Denny Stadium. I told you all year Mizzou is the most overrated team inside the top 25. Bama favored by 17.5, and I'm not giving up on Kalen DeBoer. Bama covers 17.5 over Eli Drinkwitz's Mizzou Tigers.
Bama wins, don't cover.
Wins, don't. Okay, I'm good with that. Close to cover?
No.
Okay. Number 5, Texas is at Vanderbilt in a game that should be a blowout. Texas favored by 18.5, but there's a little magic in Clark Lee's doors this year. Can they roll that magic into a matchup with the Horns and make something happen?
Even though I picked Texas at the beginning of the year to win the SEC, don't you kind of want Vandy to win?
Hell yeah, I do. Are you kidding me?
Don't you kind of want to see that happen?
I want Navy, Army, and Vandy all in the playoffs this year. Give it all to me. Hell yeah, let's go Doors. Texas wins by 25. Easy. No question mark. Let's see what else we got. We got Florida State at number 6, Miami. Miami favored by 21. Cover by 90. They're going to beat Florida State by 45 points. They have got 3 years of pent-up frustration in this rivalry game. And I did the research, Florida State sucks. Not a little, a lot.
How much research did you have to do to come about that conclusion?
About 3 minutes of any game. About 3 minutes of any game. Number 3, Penn State's at Wisconsin. Is this the James Franklin game we all know is incoming? Penn State favored by less than a touchdown.
Are they looking ahead?
Are they? Buckeyes waiting
could
and waiting.
They be looking ahead?
You know what? Screw it. Upset pick of the weekend. Wisconsin over Penn State. They get caught looking ahead to Ohio State. Trap game.
Nah, that's not going to happen.
Undefeated matchup is undefeated LSU, number 8 on the road at number 14, the Colt of Texas A&M. Texas A&M favored by a single point, meaning Vegas thinks that LSU is the better football team, and they are. Give me the Tigers on the road over the Aggies.
Yes.
I like that breakdown. SMU is at Duke, favored by 11.5. They cover.
We're running late, dude. I mean, you know.
It's college football. It's worth it. It's worth it. All right, there's your college football slate for the ranked teams. We'll do the NFL next on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show, wrapping it up for the day, wrapping it up for the week right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo. And now, the most quality Rob you'll hear on the on the radio in the entertainment circle today.
Oh, geez.
Now I'm clear.
Now you are clear.
Now I'm
42.
Clear.
42. He's known as the exalted Rob other places.
Yeah, that's fine.
Now that we have two Rob, I just want to make sure.
Ordinarily, if somebody sticks an adjective out in front of my name, we can't say it on the radio. That.
Yeah.
Rob Young from Borderlands Comics and Games is here in two capacities. Number one, noted baseball dude. And number two, a guy who's setting up for SC Comic-Con Junior this weekend at the Greenville Convention Center. As Zoe and I are both gigantic nerds, very excited about this event. What's up, buddy?
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Man, you guys built me up. I'm up on a pedestal over here.
Don't screw it up, pal.
I'll probably fall.
That's okay. I do it every day. I'm in a career. I don't know how I'm still here, to be honest with
you. If you should fall, I will catch you.
Thank you.
Because it's Good Guy Friday. And I'm the only one. Yeah. Rob is not.
Not me. It's Heel Turn Friday.
Yes.
Heel Turn Friday.
And I'm here for it.
I wonder what the chair was for.
The chair, the glasses, it's a whole vibe, bud. It's a whole vibe. Went with the Mankind tie-dye shirt.
You did go with the Mankind look today.
The Dude Love shirt. That's exactly right. So first off, dude, let's talk about SC Comic-Con Jr. How's the setup coming? How's the event coming?
Everything's going good. Floor's getting taped off today. 11 to 7 at the Greenville Convention Center on Sunday.
Can I tell you how rad it is that we live in an area that you're like, we have a Comic-Con. Oh, and also another Comic-Con because we can justify it.
Yeah, we try to make it fun. Get something kind of in between so everybody remembers it's going on. Hand out free candy. Do some fun stuff. Maybe even bring in the Big Red Machine. Get Kane in there.
Are you giving him pyro?
You know, we talked about the pyro. They frowned on it. I don't understand why.
I don't either.
Yeah, the convention center had something about not wanting giant flame cannons by the doors, but whatever. I mean,
spoil sports.
Sometimes you got to take a risk. I'm just saying. I mean, you know.
It's the old expression, better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah, yeah. I might live by that too
it's
much.
It's Kane.
It's Kane. He's the big red machine,
yeah.
Man.
Kane without pyro is just Kane.
Speaking of Kane, again, we will be interviewing Kane in, you know, about 45 minutes, and you will hear it in its entirety on the Upstate Pulse tomorrow night, about 7:20. On 98.9 WRD. So check that out.
Can't wait.
Rob, we got some questions off the air already, and it's going to be if Rob's willing to ask about the multiple Canes.
Oh, I am. 100%. Like, ripping off Kane's gimmick has become like an indie sport now at this point, and there's all these different Kane variations, and I 100% want to ask him about Blue Kane, Gain. Now we found out during the break there's a new Kane knockoff.
Favorite one so far.
It's my favorite one. He's Kane, but he wears all white, and he is co-Kane. I think it's brilliant, and I'm interested to hear what Kane has to say about it.
I love it. Yeah. Why wouldn't he love it? It's imitation is a serious form of flattery.
100%.
Yeah.
I am excited about SC Comic Con Jr. I'm excited about all the Comic Cons we have around here. You do a fantastic job with it. Now, can we talk baseball for 4 or 5 minutes?
Man, I love me some baseball.
The LA Dodgers and the New York Yankees both. This is interesting to everybody who's not a fan of the LA Dodgers or the New York Yankees, because it's like that occasional WrestleMania match where it's a heel v heel match, right? And it's like, which heel, it's not who I want to win, it's who do I want to lose more. And I got to imagine if you're a Dodgers fan, that's got to be fun for you.
It is kind of fun, right? I mean, when you look at this thing, both teams, everybody thought they'd be great. Both teams had some injury issues. And they're still sitting here at the end, which is kind of, I wouldn't have predicted that my Dodgers would have made it this far. Like that's,
the Dodgers had an injured unit of pitchers that was better than most team staffs this year. You had an injured list that was a World Series caliber rotation.
You had Kershaw, Yamamoto, Glasnow,
Bueller,
and people forget about Dustin May.
Yep.
And what's the young man that went 16-1?
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Then I'm blanking.
He went 16-1, then had an off year with an injury, and then was out this year probably with Tommy John, I think. Was that seven deep?
Yeah, it was a good chunk of the year. This to me, this is why. So I'm picking LA in this World Series, and I will tell you as a baseball fan, I hate the Yankees. I hate the Dodgers. As a baseball fan, this series is fantastic for the exact reason. I let me tell you why I like the Yankees and then get your thoughts on breaking down the bad guys behind enemy lines. The Juan Soto pickup was exactly the pickup Juan Soto needed. Out in San Diego, that's a team where the inmates were running the asylum. That is a place that it was very loosey-goosey. And there are people who can thrive in that environment. I'm one of them. I structure's no good for me. You got to just, I'm a peacock captain. You got to let me strut. Juan Soto's kind of the opposite. He needs those guardrails to kind of keep him dialed in, focused, disciplined. There's no place that does that more in American sports than the New York Yankees. But I also said, by adding Soto to that lineup, you take a ton of pressure off of Aaron Judge. You free him up to play his best ball. That's happened. You take all the pressure off of Giancarlo Stanton. All I need you to do is go hit baseballs into low Earth orbit, Giancarlo Stanton. It's freed him up to do that. Now, all of a sudden, they kind of have a 2024 edition of the old, like, 60s and 70s murderer's row that teams used to build. And there's no pressure on any individual one of them, because if one of them's having an off run, the other two guys got it. You pair that up with the fact that Gerrit Cole looks like Gerrit Cole again. They've got a phenomenal set of middle relievers. So if the starting pitching, as it has a few times, goes downhill, you know if you can keep them to 4 or 5 runs, the Yankee sluggers can open up. They can have a 5-run inning, any inning they play. This is the best possible matchup to make the LA Dodgers have to fight.
I would agree. I think the interesting piece is that the Dodgers are super, super picky hitters, and they're going to make those guys throw pitches. And as they get deeper into the series, as we saw with the Mets, all of a sudden they're hitting guys they couldn't hit 4 days ago, because once they see them and they keep taking pitches and they keep making them throw strikes, you know, they see what they've got, they see what they're throwing, and they start adjusting. I mean, I think they are deeper than the Yankees. I think if you ranked the top four, you could make an argument that the Yankees have three of them.
Yep.
You know, you could also make the argument that it's 2-2, right? It depends on where you put Stanton and Mookie. But when you start getting past that, I think the Dodgers are better. And then you've also got guys like Kike who can hit 230 all year, and then he's going to crank 6 home runs in the postseason and hit 350.
Oscar's come through in some enormous spots.
He's been great. But Kike's even crazier, and he'll play like 5 positions. Yeah. He's a freak in the postseason.
I the one aspect of this, and I was talking about this, I've got my Saturday baseball show with Cody Decker, and we talked about this last Saturday when, at that point, it was pretty obvious it was Dodgers-Yankees, even though they had to go put the period and exclamation points on it. I think the one thing about this World Series that has rarely been talked about, which is mind-blowing to me, is the defensive side of the baseball. Everybody's dialed on the pitching. Everybody's dialed in on the hitting. Sure, that's what we love as baseball fans. Chicks dig the long ball was famously said years ago. These Dodgers defensively are talented, man. Like, there's gold glovers everywhere on this team.
Oh, everywhere. And even, like, Páez is really good in center field. They'll bring him in for a defensive replacement. And then he hit, what, 2 homers in a game the other day? And he's their defensive replacement.
Yeah.
Right? That's the part that's terrifying. They're so deep, and they field really well. I think it's going to be the best World Series in a while.
I think it is, too. The moment I looked and went, uh-oh, everybody's in trouble, is when the NLCS MVP was Tommy Edman. I'm like, if you got Tommy Edman on the team with Mookie and Freddie and Teoscar and Kike and Tommy Edman is playing MVP NLCS ball, uh-oh. Like, look out. The Dodgers are winning the World Series.
And he's been playing like 60 days.
Yeah.
Right? This guy's been injured all year. Apparently, Friedman had been trying to pick him up for 2 years or something. The Cardinals wouldn't trade him. And they decided to trade him since he was hurt, and they didn't know maybe how he was going to come back. And looks like he's doing okay.
I will. Here's the spot I'm looking at. Yankees win game one with Gerrit Cole on the bump. And it's only because, as good as Jack Flaherty's been, Velo dropping the NLCS, that the Dodgers have now openly said, we're worried about it, right? Like, this seems like an issue. He is still coming out for game one. I think Gerrit Cole outduels Jack Flaherty. I think the Yankees take game one. I think the Dodgers win 3 in a row after that, 1 at the house, 2 on the road. And then it's elimination game back in L.A. Dodgers win this series. It might be in 5.
Do they bullpen the 5th one?
See, they had to in the last series.
I know.
And they still beat the Mets, who were the most electrifying team in the postseason. Right? That's the problem, is if you can, when they went bullpen game, I put a bet down on the Mets. I'm like, the Mets are against the limit. They got to win this game. And you guys hammered them in a bullpen game. I don't know what to do at that point.
It's actually in that game. It was they brought in, Dave has been really good, I think, managerially in this postseason.
Dave Roberts is the best manager in baseball this
year. But he did bring in that reliever who had already given up 2 home runs.
Yeah.
And then he gave up one. Then they won anyways.
And then they won anyway. Because, again, the Dodgers are one of those teams that you go, if a team gets 2 home runs, if a team has 2 home runs in any game, I do not remember their number. I looked it up last year. It was like, if a team has 2 home runs in a game, they have like an 83% chance of winning that game, regardless of who's on the other side of the dugout from them. The Dodgers are the only team in baseball that, if I recall correctly, it was like 50-50. If you hit 2 or more home runs against the Dodgers, you were coin flip to beat them in that game. And I imagine it's got to be less than that this year.
And imagine last year they didn't have Ohtani.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, and I'll ask you this, and then we got to bail. Best player in baseball history, because the answer is yes to me. I think he's better than anyone else who has ever played Major League Baseball.
If we're going to do 5 years, I think you can make that argument.
So you need like 2 more at this level?
Yeah. Well, it's that if we're talking pitching, I mean, Mariano.
I'm talking baseball.
Yeah, but Mariano Rivera had to break Babe Ruth's scoreless inning streak in the World Series.
Sure.
I mean, that's who he's arguing with, right? You're arguing with Babe Ruth. And so I think he just needs a little more time, even though I love him.
Here's my hot take, and I wish we had more time to discuss this. I'm going to need you to come back next week to have this conversation.
All right.
I don't give a damn about baseball players in the 20s. They were all fat, out of shapes, and when you don't let black guys play baseball, I'm not really uber concerned about what Babe Ruth in this days and age would hit 0. He would hit 0. He would not touch a 100-mile-an-hour heater. That's why modern-day guys are better than the... I'm not saying I don't respect baseball today. I cried when I went into Fenway Park for the first time because of the history. But the guys in that day and age are not the same athletes as they are today. They wouldn't compete.
Well, it's tough to compare them within... outside of their era is probably a good way to put it, right? Within the modern era, it's tough to be better than Ohtani. I'm not sure who that would be.
That's fair. That's fair. Rob Young from Borderlands Comics and Games getting set up for SC Comic-Con Jr. this weekend at the Greenville Convention Center. Dude, it's going to be a tremendous event. Have a ball, bud. Come back next week. Let's have that fight.
See you guys soon.
You got it. Rob freaking Young, the dude I go talk baseball with. Hey, y'all have a great weekend. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Come back next Monday. We'll break down the football weekend. That was and more on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Off State. Later!